It's episode 6! Woo! Andrew, you should probably say something funny about now.
I'm actually quite sick of being the funny one, so maybe you should say something funny at this point, just in case.
I write all your scripts, so...
I deliver it with gusto.
Well, whatever. Let's just do this.
In this episode, Jen Herman tells us what's trendy, we help you out with some first-class FOMO, and you're probably singing along to the Backstreet Box by now.
Better than Ben and Jerry's cookie dough, it's the Andrew and Pete Show!
Tool, don't drool.
Hey Ian Cleary, welcome to Tool Don't Drool. This is how the game works.
Tool Don't Drool is a round where our contenders tell us their favourite marketing tool of the moment and why. But they have to do it with a mouthful of water. 5 points are on offer if they manage to tell us their favourite tool, but there's a huge minus 5 points for any swallowing, dribbling, or drooling.
Okay. Easy.
Easy?
Yeah.
Oh, he says that now.
He says that.
Well, in Ireland, we go to pub all the time. We're always talking when we're drinking.
Yeah, but that's with Guinness, not with water. I mean,
different.
Okay, so tell me when.
Okay, yeah. So when you're ready, take a sip of water.
You didn't say how much.
Hold it in your mouth, a decent size.
What's a decent size?
I want to see the waterline go down, preferably.
When I... Okay. There, it's gone down. See?
Yeah.
Okay, go on. All right, you've got some? Okay. Ian, what is your favorite marketing tool and why?
I love Agoraphone.
Agoraphone.
Why?
It's great for managing social media.
I'm going to give you that.
I'm going to give you that.
Yeah, that was
okay, I got it.
Well, all right. Tell us now without a mouthful, tell us why you love Agoraphone so much.
Well, social media can be so time consuming, and I got sick of using multiple tools, and I dabbled with Edgar and Hootsuite, and I ended up with a load of different tools. Mm-hmm. Where Agoraphone have got to the stage now where they can replace all them tools. I've got one tool to manage everything. So that's definitely my main tool for doing lots of social media side of things.
Yeah, awesome. We have literally just got Agoraphone last week, so
yeah,
that's great.
We're not using it properly yet, so we can't wait to dive in and use it.
Yeah,
it's great. I think what happens is people get to that stage where they're just so overwhelmed with all the replies across all the different platforms and posting everywhere, and then it's like, how do you manage it? And Agoraphone just pulls it all into one, right?
Yeah, and they've just started building out all the queues and stuff that, you know, and it's better than what Edgar had. So the reason I used Edgar is because at one stage Agoraphone didn't have all the queues. Mm-hmm. But now there's no need to use Meet Edgar anymore. And it's just after releasing scheduling to Instagram there as well. So it means you don't have to be social on Instagram anymore. I'm only messing.
Hey guys, it's Pete here. If you're enjoying this, we'd love to get to know you too. Why not come over to our Facebook page and just drop us a message?
Killer questions.
Hello and welcome to Killer Questions.
Killer Questions.
This is the round where we kill some questions, and the tables get turned, and all eyes are on us. We get asked the questions from our amazing Atomic members. So today we have a really special question. Let's hear it.
Hi guys, it's Natalie from Hot Content. My killer question is marketing related, kind of. I'm obviously involved in the content marketing world, as you guys are, and there's so many industry events and conferences that happen throughout the year. How do you deal with FOMO when you are unable to attend all of the different events throughout the year? And how would you advise people to pick the ones that are most relevant to them and are going to be the most valuable to them? Basically, how to avoid a situation where you blow your entire marketing budget for the year on every single event that is happening. That would be great. Thanks, guys.
Awesome question. We love Natalie's business name. I gotta say, it's the best thing ever. Hot Content. I mean, come on. That's so cool.
That's awesome.
I wish we'd have called our business Hot Content.
Mm. Oh, well. We could, like, semantics that.
Mm.
Sexy content.
Sexy content. Yeah, maybe.
Natalie, watch out. Great, great question, though. And yeah. Natalie, we feel your pain completely because we go to a lot of conferences, but we still get so much FOMO from all the ones that we haven't been to yet and the ones that we want to go to and the ones that we see our friends at on Instagram. It's like, I wish I was there right now.
Oh, man.
And I think probably our best bit of advice around this is just go to our speaking page and see where we're going to be at. Because we only go to the best ones.
Obviously.
Mm.
Obviously.
No, okay.
Good point, Andrew.
But let's do some serious advice.
Yeah, I think, okay, so you're always going to have that FOMO because, yeah, you can't get to every single event. But it's about choosing the right ones. But even if you can't go to these events, what you can always do, remember, is join in online. Because all these events have hashtags on Instagram and Twitter, and they have Facebook groups, and you can, like, join in online. And get to know these people, even though you're not there.
Yeah, you can do that. And then when it comes to picking events, I'm trying to think back to when, and I'm trying to think back to when we first started going to a lot of events as attendees, not speakers. And I remember thinking, like, because a lot of them are a lot of money, right? Yeah. It's not cheap going to all of these events as an attendee. But we never went to an event kind of on a whim or like willy-nilly went to events.
I can't believe you just said that.
I just used willy-nilly on our podcast. We didn't though, right?
We went with a purpose.
Yeah, we always had very specific business goals, or we wanted to get something out of it, or we wanted to learn something, or we wanted to get to know someone.
Yes, that's
so important. Look at the speaker list, find out who's speaking, find out what they're speaking on and if that event is going to be useful to you. And now when we're choosing new events to go to, we always find people that have been before that we know and that we trust, and we ask them what they think of the event and if they think it will be useful for us.
Yes.
Yeah? So don't go on a whim. Like, do a little bit of research around what the event is, what you're going to get out of it. Look to see who has been previously just by maybe using the official event hashtag and seeing if you know anyone that's been on Twitter.
Yeah,
it's a good point. Reaching out, asking them what they thought.
Yeah, because a lot of the conferences, they all have their own different vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are going to match your style and some of them aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just which one's going to be best for you. It's best just asking people that you know and trust, basically.
Yes. And always just bringing it back to your own business goals.
Yeah.
That's really important.
Very,
very important.
All right. Natalie, we would love to see you at some more events. And guys, if you're watching, we'd love to see you at some more events as well. That's all for Cooler Questions. Now it's time for the quickest marketing tip of the week. Starring our amazing guest expert, Mark Asquerelos.
Take people behind the scenes with live video.
And that was the quickest marketing tip from our guest expert of the week.
Hello, this is Ant from Abrupt Audio. We helped Andrew and Pete make this show. But before we came along, it sounded like this. Spot the difference? With us? Without us? With us? Without us.
Yeah!
If you'd like to work with us, you can find us on Twitter at Abrupt Audio. If not, good luck!
Woo! Hiya!
Or lower.
Hello, Mr. Carlos Gill. Welcome to Higher or Lower. This is the rules.
In a game of Higher or Lower, we pit followers against subscribers against likes. How well do our contenders know the followings of top brands, people, and themselves? Guessing correctly wins a point.
Let's do it.
So we're going to start with your account. And we're going to start with your amazingly impressive Twitter following of over 62,500 followers.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
So, Carlos Gill, 62,000 Twitter followers. But is Meet Edgar's Twitter following higher or lower? Meet Edgar. social scheduling tool?
I would say lower.
Lower. Final answer?
Final answer.
Correct. Congratulations.
Meet Edgar's Twitter follower is at 8.7 thousand Twitter followers.
So smash that.
At the moment. So yeah, you are smashing them. But what about Hootsuite's Twitter following? Is that higher or lower than Meet Edgar's?
Hootsuite is definitely going to be higher.
Congrats. That was it 8.21 million. So yeah, just
wow, yeah, smashing it. That was really high when I thought, oh my god, that's a lot.
So you're saying that Hootsuite has over 8 million followers?
Yeah.
8.21
million.
8.21 million. Nice. That's a lot. Way to go, Hootsuite. But is Buffer's Twitter following higher or lower?
Buffers is lower than Hootsuite.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Right out the gate. That is at 953,000 followers on Twitter, Buffers. But what about VaynerMedia, Gary Vaynerchuk's media company's Twitter account? Has that got a higher or lower Twitter following than Buffer?
It has a lower following than Buffer.
Correct.
You are smashing correct. This.
74,000. 74,000.
All right. But, can we go for a perfect house here?
This is going to be the first one. Okay. Cats of Instagram. Higher or lower than VaynerMedia's Twitter following?
Cats of Instagram is a Cats Twitter account?
Instagram.
No, sorry. It's an Instagram account.
Sorry, yeah. This is an Instagram account.
And VaynerMedia is a Twitter account.
Yeah.
Yep. VaynerMedia has how many?
74,000.
I'd say Cats of Instagram has more than VaynerMedia.
Do cats outweigh VaynerMedia?
Yes.
Yes, they do.
9 million people follow that account.
9 million.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot of cats. Sorry,
congrats.
Garrett.
Perfect score.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. I wouldn't be a social media pro if I didn't, you know, look at the competition out there and
you don't see who's who to you, do you? Congratulations, Carlos. Perfect score, 5 out of 5.
Squirt Gun Justice.
Mari Smith, welcome to Squirt Gun Justice. That is a sentence I never thought I would say. Here's how we play.
In Squirt Gun Justice, it's Andrew versus Pete. Each of us has to read out an annoying marketing habit wrote by the other person, and our contender has to decide who is worst. Inspired by our current champion, Jay Akunzo, the loser gets squirted in the face.
Okay. So this was inspired by Jay Akunzo, who won season one. When we were looking through his tweets, we found he really wanted to squirt annoying people in the face with a tiny squirt gun. And because he won, this is kind of homage to him. So okay? We might have a Mari Smith round in the next season.
Okay, if you
win. So this is also a chance to rant a little bit as well. So if you find any of these annoying, then feel free to go for it.
All right. So I'm going to see what Andrew's wrote. Hi, my name is Pete. And when I post on social media, I make sure every other word is a hashtag.
That's annoying, right, Mari?
That's very annoying.
All right, let's see if that is worse than mine. This is a long one. Hi, my name is Andrew, and I book meetings in your diary using your Calendly link without your permission, and then turn up late. That's quite annoying as well, to be fair.
It is.
All right, Mari, our fate is in your hands, so who is worse and why?
Well, actually, I have a feeling this is the same person. They're annoying with their hashtags and they're annoying with their Calendly links. No, I would say I haven't heard of people doing the Calendly just booking appointments, but I'm sure it does happen, like spam calendar appointments. But I would say for me, I'm not a fan of overusing hashtags. I think just 2 or 3 are plenty. You can use more on Instagram, but you know, did you say Twitter? Yeah, it's tweets. I'm going to go with the tweet one.
Yes! Mari, you're my new best friend. All right, my friend.
Okay, I'm ready.
This is coming right from Mari Smith to your face.
Double shot.
Thanks, Mari. You made my day.
You ruined my day.
The slow fire round.
Hey, Jen, I hope you're ready for the slow fire round. We get to slow things down. Here's how it works.
In the slow fire round, we slow things down a notch and dig a little deeper. We've got some questions for our contenders, but there's a twist. We're also going to be giving them some swap words that they must swap out with every single answer. Say the wrong word and it's a minus point.
Okay.
Sound excited or a little bit nervous?
A little nervous. I don't want to lose any points. I feel like I got some momentum. I don't want you to take them away from me.
Okay, no. So we're going to allow you to introduce yourself now.
I am Jen Herman. I'm Jen with two N's because I was born in 1980 with about a bazillion other Jennifers. So I always grew up as 2N Jen. So I'm everywhere online as Jen's_trends, or I'm at jenstrends.com, always with two N's in the Jen. I'm an Instagram person. That's what I love to do. I'm actually the world's forefront blogger on Instagram marketing and wrote Instagram for Business for Dummies recently. And it's my passion. I love the community. I love the tool behind Instagram. So I fell in love with it as a user, and in the process was like, okay, let's figure out how to do this for marketing. And no one was really blogging about it at the time. And I had started to develop a bit of an audience on my blog. And so I embraced it and I took people on the journey and was like, here, this is what I tried. You know, this is a new thing that just came out, whatever it was. And then from there, I was actually able to just continue to build on that momentum and have now written well over 100 blog posts just on my website alone dedicated to Instagram, as well as guest blog posts and obviously guest interviews and things like that. So I just come out and have fun and talk about Instagram, and it's pretty awesome.
Wow.
Nice. Awesome. Love it. Okay. Jen, we're going to give you the first question, but first, that first replacement swap word. I knew, you kind of knew this was going to come, but the word Instagram, you cannot use anymore. And instead, you have to use the word Jen. With two N's.
Jen? My name? Okay.
Yeah, your name.
Okay.
So, like, you are now Instagram. The first question, Jen, is, what part of your content marketing strategy has had the biggest impact? And remember, you can't use the word Instagram. It's now Jen.
For me, blogging has been huge. Blogging was where I built my platform. I like to read. I don't like to watch videos. So I created blog content because it was natural for me. And in doing that, I created a huge platform through my blog, which was really what got my name out there. And then when I found this wonderful tool called Jen, I was able to take advantage of that and find a niche that wasn't currently being exploited by anybody else because no one was really talking about Jen. So I started talking a lot about Jen, and I use Jen Live frequently to share even more with my audience and expand that reach. So you totally have to come hang out with me on Jen Live.
Love it. All right. You're doing well.
You're doing well, but it's about to get a lot harder.
Okay. So the next swap word is marketing. Okay. And instead of saying marketing, we want you to say the word hen. So Instagram is now Jen and marketing is now hen.
Oh, I can't use either one now? Oh, good Lord. Okay.
Either one. All right.
Marketing is hen and Instagram is Jen. Well, at least they rhyme. Oh,
that was minus two right off the bat.
Oh! Okay. That's fair. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Please do not repeat the words. Yeah. We have to be harsh. I'm sorry.
Okay. At least Penn and Jen rhyme.
So the question is,
okay,
how do you avoid overwhelm when marketing your business?
How do I avoid overwhelm when henning my business?
Uh-huh.
I post less content. I actually work really hard at creating less content, but better quality content. So instead of posting for the sake of posting and kind of checking the box, I instead focus on what can I create that my audience really wants to listen to? What is something that is really important? Capitalizing on something that is really important at that time, something that's trending, that makes it a lot easier to be able to kind of narrow down that hen topic to the things that are relevant to what my audience wants and gives me better reactions from them.
I love that.
That's cool.
Are you kind of seeing that across the board of all the social platforms as well? It's not about posting as much as possible, just making it quality, quality, quality.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think most conferences, that's usually kind of the takeaway nowadays. Wherever you go, whatever you, you know, you read, I think more and more people are talking to that extent of post less and just focus on the really quality content. I always say if it's meh, it's not worth sharing. It has to be like that super awesome content that you want to interact with, something that's so relevant to you that it would be relevant to your audience as well.
What in your eyes constitutes as like really good content? Because that's obviously you know, different on different spectrums and different people's opinions, but to you, I'm curious to know what you think. Well, what constitutes to you is this is okay to post, or this is good enough, like this is really good but good enough to be really good.
If it's links to like articles or anything like that in the hen space, then I definitely say people need to focus on, you know, what is the most learning they can get out of it? Like, don't just post something for the fun of it. It has to be something really educational that people are going to get real value out of. If you're talking about using Jen, then I always say it has to be the best photo, like great lighting, great kind of content behind it. What's the context? Like, why would this matter to them? And then having a great caption as well. It's something that really ties into an entire component of that piece of content, not just here's a great photo or here's a great link, but what can you add to that conversation when you're sharing that information as well?
Love it. Love it. Awesome. Love it. All right. Okay.
Fantastic.
You're not doing too bad here. Okay. On that tiny slipper.
I know. That was a trick. Okay. But now I know the rules.
All right. So the last word that's going to get replaced, the last swap word is the word working. Okay. Working. Instead of working, you now have to say the word Big Ben.
Like the tower? Okay.
Yeah. So Instagram is Jen, marketing is Hen, and working is Big Ben.
Okay. At least they all rhyme. I love it. Okay.
That's what we thought. This should be fun. Mm-hmm. All right. So
are you Big Ben on your Jen Hen? No, that's not the question. Go on.
The question is, when it comes to your own marketing, what are you working on right now to improve your business and grow your business?
So for right now, I'm Big Ben, my speaking. So I'm looking at ways that I can attend more hen conferences to either be keynote or breakout sessions. I'm very, very lucky that this year I'm doing an event almost every month. I will be at an event. So that's been my big goal this year. Last year, I said I wanted to speak more and I wanted to travel more. And I kind of threw it out there in the universe and it started to manifest itself the end of last year and into this year. So I'm getting to do all those things that I want to do and travel new places and meet new people and put my message out in front of a bigger audience. And that helps grow even my audience on Jen as well as on my blog. Helps get me consulting clients, all that sort of stuff. So it's definitely, that's been my biggest focus this year.
Fantastic. And what exactly have you been doing to get more speaking gigs?
That's a good question. I don't really know. I kind of threw it out there in the universe. Fortunately for me, writing the book, which was Jen for Business for Dummies, has been a big help because of course, once you become a published author, everyone all of a sudden thinks that, you know, you're super smart, you know. Don't worry about the last 5 years of my life. Now that I wrote a book, all of a sudden I'm validated in life. So having that has helped a lot, and people have reached out to me. And, you know, someone will see me at one event and then they'll want me to come to another event and things like that. So it's kind of been something that has snowballed with momentum in that way. But definitely the book was a big help.
Yeah. Now we've seen that a lot. And I think when we first started to try and get our speaking gigs going, like we literally wrote a book for that purpose. It's like, we want to do more speaking.
Exactly.
A book. Like, let's write a book. And it worked.
Yeah.
So, you know, all the more reason to write another book and so forth. So and like you say, it's a snowball effect. And I think that's maybe testimony to you doing really well when you are speaking. And obviously people are seeing that and loving it and they want to hire you for more events, right? So
That's awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's all Big Ben.
It's all Big Ben.
Right, Jen, we're going to let you say all those words now so you can tell people where they can find you if they want to find out more.
No, I'm not saying those words. You're tricking me into this. I am so not falling for this game. I lost enough points already.
Oh, go on. You've got our word.
I promise.
We don't lie.
Show me your hands. I want to see that the fingers aren't crossed.
No crosses.
All right, yeah, so you can find me, I'm at jenstrends.com. The book is Instagram for Business for Gummies, which is available on Amazon and most other online retailers that sell books, or you can even go to wiley.com, which is the publisher. I'm everywhere on Instagram, Twitter, all that is Jens, J-E-N-N-S underscore trends.
Thanks, Jen. Fantastic. So that was minus 20 points on that round. Thank you for playing. Slow fire round.
This show is brought to you by Atomic, our membership site that teaches business owners like you to do remarkable online marketing. But if you're not a member, you might want to check out our free Backstreet box. In every episode of this podcast, we're going to add something new into it that you can use to create remarkable content.
In it already, we have the bonus episode, we have the Canva templates, we have the algorithm hacks, we have the ebook templates, we have how to reach out to influencers, and this week we are adding Build a Bloody Good Blog Blueprint. So this teaches you exactly what you need to do before you even start writing your blog to make sure it is as bloggy and as great as possible. So to get free access to that and everything else in the Backstreet Box, go to backstreetbox.com or click the link in the show notes. Or if you are yet to feel fancy and go to our Facebook Messenger at m.me/AndrewandPete and type Backstreet, and our Facebook bot will be super clever and send you a special message to get you access.
Everybody, yeah, go down on that. Backstreetbox.com.
Blankety tweet. Hello, Janet Murray. Welcome to Blankety Tweet. This is how we play.
In this round, we've gone way back in the Twitter time machine to find tweets that our contenders have all but forgotten about. But do they know what word or phrase we've blanked out of their own tweets? There's a point per correct answer, so let's find out.
Do you know your tweets, Janet?
I think I do.
We went back far, so we're going to put that to the test. So, are you ready for tweet number one?
Yeah.
Tweet number one comes from the 15th of March, 2012. And you tweeted, finding a red blank ball in your sock, one of the many random things that happen when you have a young child.
A random red bouncy ball?
Yeah!
I don't even remember that incident. God, I was boring though, wasn't I? God.
That was good. That was well remembered.
Is that my first ever tweet?
I don't think
so.
No.
Thankfully. Okay, tweet number two from the 20th of January 2011. Again, maybe it's on this whole balls thing, I don't know. The tweet goes, giggling at blank balls' barely contained grins.
Say it again.
Giggling at blank balls' barely contained grins.
Oh, this is Ed Balls, isn't it? Who used to be the...
Yeah,
I love Ed Balls. I think he's got a really nice voice. And obviously, I used to be an education correspondent. That was my thing. And so when Ed Balls was education secretary, which I think was around that time, he was secretary, wasn't he? I can't even remember now how bad that he was. He had a big education job, didn't he? But I loved his voice. I like listening to him on the radio.
Well, there we go. So there's a story behind every tweet here.
There we go. Ed Balls' right. Barely contained grins.
Let's see if we can go for three in a row here. The next tweet comes from July 2010. and you tweeted, why are my blanks always rubbish?
Why are my tweets always rubbish? Oh God, I don't know. What could it be? 2010?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The 31st of July, if that is a clue. If you can think back that far.
Maybe summertime.
Holidays? Always rubbish? What would I be doing in the summer? Like staying inside and keeping out of the sun is what I do.
Yeah, probably. You are in this place.
I am in this place. Why am I...
In this case.
I am staying inside, keeping away from the sun in this case.
Why are my blanks always rubbish?
I have to push
for an answer now.
So I'm staying inside and I'm keeping out of the sun. I told you I was really competitive. I don't know.
Cakes.
Oh yeah, my cakes are always rubbish.
Yeah. Is that still the same? So eight years later.
Did I share a picture of it?
I feel like you might have been so embarrassed so that you didn't.
Yeah.
All right. This one isn't too far away. So the next one comes from the 16th of June, 2017. And you tweeted, I love at Andrew and Pete's blanks.
I love Andrew and Pete's blanks.
Tweets?
16th of June.
So that would have been CMA Live, wouldn't it? Just gone.
Maybe.
Is that CMA Live?
Maybe.
Potentially.
I love their talks. I love hearing them talk, would I say? I love
this. So close.
Very close.
So close.
Can't quite give you that. One guess, and that's the final answer. One more guess. That's it.
I love their props and their gimmicks or something like that. I love going for dinner with them.
So I'm close, but no cigar.
Huh? I love their clothes.
Thank you, but no.
At least you didn't say like butts or anything like that. So I love Andrew and Pete's slides.
God, yeah, I do love your slides. Yeah, no, I do love your slides. Yeah.
Thank you. We can
do that enough. I wish you remember.
Again, I didn't realise I was so boring.
These are good tweets. I feel like this is better than podcast number four.
Yeah, they're good for this kind of show because they're.
Yeah. All right. The fifth tweet goes.
I tend to think more about the content, in brackets, and whether my blank looks okay. Laughing, crying face.
When was this from?
September the 17th, 2017.
So I tend to think more about my content and whether my...
blank.
Oh, whether my hair looks okay.
Yeah!
Ding, ding, ding!
Yeah, see.
You did really well.
You remembered three of your very old tweets in some cases, so congratulations.
Wrong answers. We're about to play Wrong Answers with Tim Schmoyer. Tim, here's the rules. In Wrong Answers, we're going to ask our contenders some quick fire questions that they should know the answers to. But in order to score a point, they actually have to answer the questions wrong. They have 30 seconds to get as many wrong answers as possible, and points are given for each wrong answer.
I think I am very good at being incorrect.
I think you should be good at this. Remember, the more you get incorrect, the more points you win.
Going to be asking the questions. Official question master, and Pete is going to be timing his own.
All right. You ready? Yeah. Steady. And go.
How many YouTube subscribers do you have?
Two.
Spell your first name.
RB2Q.
What was your first video about?
Jonathan.
How many kids do you have?
16.
Before shooting a video, how do you warm up?
Rubbing my nose.
What kind of camera do you own?
I don't own one.
What's your podcast about?
The sky.
Should people watch video these days?
No.
I'm going to give you that good. One. That was a lot. That was really good. Wait, how many was that?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Woo! Is that a lot? I don't know.
No, that's like, I think that's the most we've had so far.
I think that is the most we've had so far, actually.
That's brilliant.
You are very incorrect. Congratulations.
I know. Thank you. My wife would confirm that.
We were like running out of questions there. So we were like, well, you better get like this. You better take your time from here.
Pick your poison.
Mike Morrison, be scared, because this is Pick Your Poison. Here's how it works.
In this round, we give our contenders two awful, nightmarish scenarios for their business, and they have to decide which they would rather have.
Okay. I'm scared.
Okay. So here is your first poison. You are never allowed to podcast about memberships ever again. Or Facebook deletes your group All About Membership sites and bans you from ever starting another one. What do you value more, Mike, and why?
I'd have to choose not being able to podcast ever again, because I love podcasting. I love our podcast, but I can also achieve the same thing through blogging, through Facebook Lives, through video and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Facebook group, it's kind of the only game in town in terms of like public gathering spaces. Like, I'm not going to set up a Google Plus group, seriously. So the alternatives are better if we kill the podcast.
Oh.
Bye-bye podcast.
So you must get quite a lot from the group then.
We do. I don't want to say it's a holding pen, but it's a gathering place for membership site owners, you know? And so most of the feedback and the interaction we get about the podcast is fed from the Facebook group. Yeah. And most of our ideas for the podcast and for our blogs and stuff like that come from the Facebook group. So it's like, we don't do anything too advanced with it. We keep it nice and simple, but it's a linchpin. It really is.
And what's the name of the group, just so people can find it?
If you search for Membership Mastermind, or if you type in talkmemberships.com, that'll redirect you to the Facebook group.
Nice.
You geek, you.
Clever. It's clever. If I'm on a podcast, nobody's going to remember facebook.com/group/whatever. Talkmemberships.com takes you to the right place.
Hello, podcast listener. Why not look at our faces too over on youtube.com/AndrewandPeteTV. Subscribe for more marketing entertainment.
Ah, for Pete's sake.
Hello, Andrea. Welcome to For Pete's Sake. Here's how this one works.
In episode 10, Pete, i.e. me, is going to read the final scores from a freezing cold bath of ice cubes. However, in this round, each contender has a chance to save me from one of the bags of ice by answering 5 quickfire questions correctly. They get a point per question, but have to get all questions right for Pete's sake.
Are you going to save Pete, Andrea?
I hope so.
Thank you. I hope so too. It's going to be otherwise.
Right. Okay. All right. Quickfire. So we have to go quick here. Spell the word cat.
C-A-T.
Name a fruit that is red.
Apple.
Name a marketing conference.
Social Media Marketing World.
New York is in what time zone?
Eastern.
And exactly how many miles of motorway are there in the UK?
50,000.
So close. There's actually 213,750 miles of motorway in the UK.
That was an easy one. Come on, Andrew.
I know. Sorry, Pete. I'm sorry.
It's going to be so much ice. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave a 5-star review in whatever app you listen to your podcasts. And Andrew will pee his pants a little because, you know, he's been holding on for a while and he's so excited. Anyway, Andrew, speaking of which, what's scores?
Well, it's all change at the bottom of the leaderboard. Once again, Jen Herman and Andrea Val tie in with 4 points apiece. Janet Murray on 5 points. Carlos Gill on 6 points. Mike Morrison and Sue B with 7 points. Ian Cleary is climbing, 8 points now. Mari Smith drops to third place with 11 points. Mark Asquith remains steady with 13 points, but Tim Schmoyer has jumped right into pole position with a whopping 17 points.
Where did he come from? He's storming ahead. Let's crack open the Bordeaux. That was the Andrew and Pete show.